Good morning.
Good morning.
We're in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. And we're going to pick it up where we left off last week, verse 15. Page 1251, if you're using that Bible under the seat in front of you. I've entitled our message this morning, Another Chance for Peter. Father, we do thank you that you are the God of second chances. In fact, many, many chances. Your mercies, your compassion, new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, O Lord. Father, thank you for sticking with your people, for never giving up on one who belongs to you. I pray that you would bless this time now in your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. John chapter 21, I didn't tell you this last week, but it appears to be an appendix or a supplement to the Gospel of John, a chapter that was added sometime after the original work was done. Look at the last two verses of John chapter 20. It says, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name." Now that sounds like a perfect ending to the Gospel of John. It could end right there. That could be the conclusion, but it doesn't. You have John chapter 21, a chapter that was supplemented later. Why John chapter 21. Answer, Peter. There was some unfinished business with Peter that needed to be set straight and confirmed in the biblical record. So really, this last chapter is about Peter. So remember in John chapter 21, it's about 2 to 3 weeks after the resurrection. Jesus, risen from the dead, appears to 7 disciples on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. We studied all these details last week. They had breakfast together. And then right after breakfast, Jesus zeroes in on Peter. He addresses Peter. Let's read the exchange between them very carefully. Verse 15. "So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Feed my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me?' Peter was grieved, because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Feed my sheep.'" It's very important to remember how badly Peter had failed Jesus, if you're going to understand what's going on here. Peter had failed miserably. Peter blew it big time. If you remember, the night that Jesus was arrested, he spent some quiet time, some alone time with his disciples in the upper room. They celebrated Passover together, and Jesus is pouring out his heart to them. And over the course of that evening, Jesus told his disciples some very troubling things. He said, "One of you will betray me." And of course, he was speaking about Judas Iscariot, but the disciples didn't know that at that point. And so it's a shocking thing. One of us is going to betray you? Is it I? And then Jesus tells the disciples that he's going away and that they will not be able to follow him, implying that they're going to abandon him. And Peter takes issue with that. Remember, Peter stood up at that moment and made some really bold claims. According to all of the gospel accounts, Peter said, "Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake." He said, "Lord, I am ready to go with you both to prison and to death." He said, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And Matthew's account tells us that Peter said, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never, ever be made to stumble." So think of that. Peter in the upper room said to Jesus, "Though the rest of your disciples here will stumble, not me. I'm stronger than them all. I'm more loyal." You remember that Jesus had changed his name from Simon, son of Jonah, to Peter, Peter meaning rock. And there he is saying, "I'm your rock. I'll be the last man standing. I'll never deny you." And I believe he really believed that. I don't think that he had any non-sincere things happening. I think Peter truly believed that he was stronger and better than everyone else. But of course, Jesus said to him, "Peter, Rocky, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times." Peter, stop it. This very night, you're going to deny knowing me three times. And of course, what happened? That's exactly what happened. Jesus is arrested in the garden. He is taken into the courtyard of the high priest's house in Jerusalem. And Peter follows from afar. And as he goes into the courtyard, a servant girl says, "Hey. Hey, you're one of his disciples." And Peter says, "No, I'm not." Denial number one. Then there's a fire of coals going right in the center of that courtyard, and the servants and officers of the temple are warming themselves around that fire. And Peter goes and he warms himself by that fire, and a couple of the guys say, "Hey, you're one of his disciples, aren't you?" Peter says, "I am not. I don't know the man." Denial number two. And then one guy says, "Hey, I recognize you. You were in the garden with Jesus when we arrested him. You're one of his disciples." And Peter adamantly, it says in the scripture, said, "I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know that man. I have nothing to do with Jesus." At that moment, the rooster crowed. And right at that moment, they're leading Jesus across the upper balcony. that looks into the courtyard below, and Luke's gospel tells us the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." So Peter went out and wept bitterly. Jesus looked him in the eyes. Peter was crushed. Peter runs out of the courtyard. He finds a place of isolation. He's on his face, grieving in failure. He blew it. And by the way, that was a serious failure. Earlier in his public ministry, Jesus said these words, "Whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven." Denying Jesus is serious business. In fact, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ here this morning, if you claim to be a Christian and you deny knowing Jesus in front of certain people, that's serious. Or maybe you're a Christian and you deny Jesus around certain people by living a life of blatant hypocrisy. Do you realize how serious that is? That's a huge offense. Peter denied knowing the Lord not once, not twice, three times. Epic failure. And really, this should have been the end of Peter's story. He should have departed the pages of Scripture. At that point, right there, he should have lost all of his credibility. His story should have been over. But his story wasn't over. In fact, in the book of Acts, we find Peter as the first pastor evangelist of the early church, used mightily by God. How did Peter get from epic failure to a place of leadership, prominence, effectiveness in the early church? John chapter 21. For you see, my friend, in John chapter 21, Jesus publicly restored Peter. He publicly restored the credibility of Peter. Jesus publicly recommissioned Peter. Jesus publicly gave Peter another chance. Now, I want you to notice how Jesus restored Peter in his failure, because it's exactly how Jesus will restore us in our failure. Please notice here in this chapter that Jesus utterly humbles Peter. Jesus shreds all of the pride in Peter's life. Jesus here brings Peter face to face with his failure. He reminds Peter of his failure. He lets Peter know that he failed and that he is a man capable of failing. There are obvious things happening here that would certainly have reminded Peter of his failure. For instance, when Peter denied knowing Jesus, he did so at a fire of coals. Remember? In the early morning hours. Well, look up at verse 9. Remember when they had breakfast? It says, "Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it. Here we are again in the early morning hours, warming ourselves around a fire of coals. I think Jesus looked at Peter like, do you remember the last time you were around a fire of coals? How many times does Jesus ask Peter, do you love me? How many times did Peter deny knowing Jesus? Peter, I want to remind you here this morning that you publicly denied knowing me 3 times. And then something that's very telling, all 3 times when Jesus asks the question, notice how he refers to Peter. He calls him what? Simon, son of Jonah. Do you love me? All 3 times. Simon, son of Jonah. Uses the old name. Doesn't use Peter. You haven't been a rock, Peter. You've been like the old guy. Simon, son of Jonah. Jesus is confronting Peter with that failure, making Peter remember his failure. And that's painful, but it's something that needs to be done. Listen, Christian, no matter how long you've been walking with the Lord, no matter how mature that you think you might be, never forget that you are always capable of failing. Big time. Don't ever get to a point in your life where you think you've made it. Pride comes before a fall. And listen, when you do go through a season of failure, admit it, confess it, don't make excuses for it, don't blame it on others. Don't try to hide it. One of the very first necessary steps to being restored by Jesus Christ is to become painfully aware of your failure and admit it. We're told in Psalm 51, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Now, we also see Peter being brought face to face with the ugliness of his own pride, self-reliance, self-confidence. Look at that first question. I think this is a question that really, really cut him to the heart. Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? Peter, Simon, do you love me more than these other men sitting around this fire with us, the disciples? Peter, back in the upper room, you seemed to indicate that you loved me more than these guys. That you were stronger than them. That you would be more loyal. Do you really love me more than these? The semantic force of what Jesus is saying here is, now after you have denied me 3 times as I told you you would, can you still affirm that you love me more than these other disciples do? No, you don't. And then I want you to notice something that's very powerful going on in the original Greek language here. In the Greek language, there are 2 main Greek words. There are others, but there are 2 main Greek words that are translated love in English. One of those words is agape. It's the highest form of love. For the sake of clarity, I'm going to call it this morning 100% love. And then there's the Greek word phileo. Brotherly love, friendship love. Again, for the sake of clarity, I'm going to call that 60% love. You with me? In the first question, Jesus says, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? 100% love. Peter says, I phileo you. 60% love. That sounds pretty humble. Peter's saying, there's no way I could say that I love you 100% after what I've done. The second question, Simon, son of Jonah, do you agape me? Do you love me with 100% love? And Peter says, I phileo you. I love you with 60% love. Again, that sounds very good. It changes on the third question. Jesus says to Peter, do you phileo me? Do you love me with 60% love? In other words, Peter, are you sure you even love me a 60%? It says Peter grieved. It hurt. Peter says, Lord, you know all things. I hope you know that at least I love you 60%. I wish I could say that. Jesus, in no uncertain terms, is saying to Peter in this episode, buddy, you've been a prideful man. You have been self-confident. You have thought that you were stronger and better than everyone else, and now I want you to be honest with yourself. You're not as strong as you think. You're not as loyal as you think. He humbled him. I'll tell you, if there is one truth that you see without any shadow of a doubt in the entire Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, God wants his people humble. Period. His men and women will be humble. And we need to be humble. And I'm talking about true humbleness. I'm not talking about pretend humbleness. Listen, I'm talking about a humility that goes deep, deep down into the very fabric of your being. It's humility in your life as character. That's what the Lord wants for you. And it's only when you become humble that the Lord can really begin to use you. Because in true humility, you now become more dependent on the Lord and less dependent upon yourself. Brother and sister, man, cherish anything in life that will make you humble. It's been said a mistake that makes you humble is much better than an achievement that makes you arrogant. I would agree with that. And here's something about pride, very deceptive. Pride has been called the only sickness that everyone can easily recognize except the one who has it. Because there are little areas of pride in our own lives that we can't see. I remember I was at an airport waiting to get on a flight, and there was this young kid. He was a blonde, good-looking young man, and this man knew it. And he was one of these, he's walking. I mean, prancing around the law. I mean, he literally, the pride bubbled over. And it was so bad, you could watch everybody there waiting. Look at this guy. Gag, right? But here's a guy who had absolutely no idea how ugly and arrogant he was. And you know what? There may be areas just like that in your life that you prance around, and it's so ugly to everyone else. But you don't see it. Well, let me tell you, God sees it, and God will tear that down, won't he? His people will be humble. So Jesus humbles Peter, really, just humbles him. But then what does Jesus do? He picks him up. He recommissions him. Hey, let's go forward with the lesson learned. You know, one of my favorite linebackers of all time is Mike Singletary. Man, he was a tough guy for Chicago. And he's a brother. In fact, he's an ordained minister. But I used to love to watch him. He would pulverize running backs. He would literally grind them into the ground. And then afterwards, hey, let me help you out, buddy. I think the Lord will many times do that with his people. Level us. And then pick us up. Hey, get back up. He says, Peter, I got big plans for you. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Peter, you're going to be the pastor. You're going to be the evangelist pastor of the early church. Go forward. Get up. Learn your lesson. He broke Peter. Do you see that? Humbled him and then made him stronger. And so you go into the book of Acts and you find a humiliated Peter at work. A man who's no longer dependent upon himself, but a man who's completely dependent upon the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit. God uses him mightily. Same thing with us. He humbles us to lift us up, to use us. I will tell you this, the men and women that God uses in great ways are the men and women that he breaks greatly. He uses broken people. I've always loved this quote, God uses broken things. It takes broken soil to produce a crop, broken clouds to produce rain, broken grain to give bread, and broken bread to give strength. It's the broken alabaster box that gives forth perfume. It's the broken Peter, weeping bitterly, who returns to greater power than ever. Hey man, have you blown it lately? Have you struggled? And you're a Christian. The Lord hasn't given up on you. Maybe he's breaking you. Maybe he's humbling you. But that's okay to make you better. Peter will be used in mighty ways. And then look at the prediction that Jesus also makes to Peter in verse 18. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Now, do you understand what Jesus has just told Peter here? Peter, you're going to be a mighty pastor. You're going to be used in mighty ways. But one day, Peter, you're going to pay the ultimate price. You're going to die a martyr for my name's sake. Now, again, compare this with the boast that Peter had made back in the upper room. I'll die with you, Lord. Remember? I'll go to prison for you. I'll give my life away. Was he committed enough back then to do that? No, he ran like a scared baby, didn't he? But here's Jesus saying, you know what? One day you will be strong enough to die for me. You will give your life for me. How would you like if Jesus said that to you? Would that bless you? Hey, you're going to die. You're going to give your life for me. I don't know if I'd be a little scared, wouldn't you? Verse 20, then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper, and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Now, I love it. I have to die? What about John? Does John have to die too? Verse 22, Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that the disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? Peter, don't concern yourself with John. Don't worry about other people. What if, according to my plan for John's life, I want him to live till I come again? What is that to you? By the way, this little conversation that they had on the beach sparked a rumor in the early days of the church. And the rumor went that John was never going to die. That he would never die until the Lord came back. So I believe this is another reason why this was an appendix. Because here the writer clearly says, Jesus never said that John wouldn't die. He said, if I will that John wouldn't die. And of course we know that John did live longer than any of the other apostles, but he did die. But the point being, Peter, stay humble. Stay broken. And keep your eyes on what I've called you to do. Don't worry about other people. That's good words for us, isn't it? You're a Christian, you want to be used by the Lord. Stay broken. Stay humble. And keep your eyes on what God has called you to do. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. Don't compete with anybody else. Don't worry about what other people have and what you don't have. Keep your eyes on what God has called you to do, and do that faithfully. Amen? Amen. That's what Peter would do. And by the way, Peter did die as a martyr. According to ancient writers, about 34 years after what we just read, Peter was crucified, and that he deemed it so glorious a thing to die for Christ that he begged to be crucified with his head downwards, not considering himself worthy to die in the same posture in which his Lord did. Look what God did with Peter. There's a verse that I absolutely love as a Christian, Lamentations 3. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Do you believe that? My brother and sister in Christ, listen, we serve an awesome God, don't we? He loves us so much. He wants to make our lives so useful and fruitful. And when we fall, and we will fall from time to time, he doesn't write you off. He doesn't say that's the end of your story. He'll humble you. But he does that only to lift you up and make you stronger. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, the Lord says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." That is always God's plan for your life. Always, no matter where you are. For your future, the Lord says, I want to give you a future and a hope. Let him. Return to him this morning. Resubmit your life to him this morning. Get up from past failure. Move forward. Father, I pray that you would help us to do exactly that. Lord, I look back on my life, as many of us here this morning can do, and we see all the chances you've given us. Lord, we see in your word even how you welcomed back the prodigal son. Lord, your word says that it's your kindness that leads us to repentance. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to speak to any Christian here this morning who has walked away and maybe thinks that there's no way back. There is a way back. There is. And I invite you to come back. You just cry out to the Lord. Cry out in your heart. Say, Lord, I want to come back to you. I'm not sure I'm strong enough to come back to you, but I want to come back to you. So do a miracle in my life. Take me back. Restore me. And then, Father, I'd like to pray for all of us that we would be all of your people represented right here. I pray that we would, Lord, make us aware of those areas of pride. Rid us of that ugliness. Lord, I pray that you would protect us from becoming too lax, thinking that we are beyond failure. No, 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 no. Lord, keep us dependent upon you every single day. Lord, use us. Lift us up to make a difference in this world for you. Help us to find that race you want us to run, and then help us to run it. In Jesus' name, amen.